Manx Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Good evening and welcome along to Update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on Wednesday the 28th of May and it's time for half an hour of the latest news on and from the Isle of Man. Coming up, police issue a warning about people misbehaving and ignoring the rules on the roads this TT. We hear from a member of the island's tourism sector during what is undoubtedly the busiest 2 weeks of the year. And an MHK says government is becoming extremely secretive. Stay tuned to find out why. All of that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and sport for you, as well as what to watch out for on the roads this evening. Let us know your thoughts. Text 166 177 or email studio at manxradio.com. First of all, let's take a look at the latest headlines with Amy Griffiths. Fast am I, Amy.
A TT visitors appeared in court charged with riding a motorbike dangerously and failing to stop for police during an incident in Kirkmichael. Florian Kamel Roux, who's visiting from France, did not enter pleas during his appearance at Douglas Courthouse this afternoon. The mountain road is now closed ahead of the first qualifying session for TT 2025. The rest of the roads around the course are due to shut at 6 o'clock and reopen no later than 9:30. Manx Care says it has daily conversations with Aintree Hospital about their respective capacities. It's where most trauma patients on the Isle of Man are sent if they're in need of extra medical care. But Senior Matron for Medicine and Emergency Care, Jo Standish, says they're well prepared for it.
So we have a daily call with Aintree to have a look at their status, to review any trauma patients that have gone there. If we have patients in Aintree and they're struggling, we'll try and bring them back.
Police say they've already had to deal with a number of people misbehaving this TT. Inspector Paul Kemp says although no extra officers come over from the UK at this time of year, extra resources are used from other areas of the constabulary to police the festival.
We have had a few incidents. We've got people going to court for motoring offences and the unmarked bikes out there, and unfortunately keeps catching people misbehaving.
A dog's been rescued after slipping its harness and falling 50 metres down a crevice at the Chasms near Craigneish. The Isle of Man Fire and Rescue Service had to use a thermal imaging camera and handheld lighting to find the missing pet. To international news now, and police have revealed 7 people are still in hospital after being hit by a car during Monday's trophy parade in Liverpool, as they're granted more time to question a suspect. A total of 79 people are now known to have been hurt in the incident. A paedophile retired surgeon's been jailed for 20 years in France for abusing hundreds of patients, often while they were sedated. 74-year-old Joel Lesquanec assaulted and raped victims at dozens of hospitals over a 25-year period. And Sir Rod Stewart's confirmed he'll reunite with his former Faces bandmate Ronnie Wood for his set at Glastonbury. The singer went on to pursue a solo career while the guitarist joined the Rolling Stones. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6 o'clock.
Grow my head. Thank you, Amy. Let's turn our attention to the weather now from the Ronald's Way Met Office, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Staying dry this evening, but turning increasingly cloudy, then rain will arrive shortly after dusk, this turning heavy at times overnight. Fresh to strong south or southwest winds developing tonight, the minimum temperature around 11 degrees. Tomorrow will then be a cloudy day, still with a few outbreaks of rain and drizzle possible, but these will tend to become light and patchy and may die out by the evening. Fresh to strong southwest winds, these easing later, the maximum temperature tomorrow 15 degrees. Then dry and bright on Friday with good sunny intervals with mainly moderate winds. Sunset tonight at 9:35, sunrise tomorrow morning at 4 minutes before 5.
Feel the fun at the TT races with Tesco. Visit your local store to top up your tank with snacks and refreshments for race day. Tesco, every little helps.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws to luxury luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
That's right, and the time now is 5 past 5. We'll get you up to date with what's happening around the TT course tonight. Roads have started to close ahead of the first qualifying session, starting with the Mountain Road, little more than 20 minutes ago. All roads will be closed by 6 o'clock. At 6:30, the Superbike and Super Stock classes will be out. At 20 past 7, it's the turn of the Super Sport / Super Twins. And at 10 past 8 tonight is the Sidecars. Roads are set to reopen no later than 9:30. Once again, though, the Mountain Road has now closed and all roads around the TT course will be closed by 6 o'clock. We'll keep an eye out for any updates this evening. Well, police are urging people to take heed of the safety notices they issue this TT. Officers say they've already had to deal with a number of people misbehaving and ignoring the rules. One person was even caught entering a closed road just 8 minutes after it had been shut. Inspector Paul Kemp says they have to pool their resources every TT to try and keep everyone safe.
Everybody's gone on to extended shifts now, and you'll be seeing more and more officers out and about. The traffic department has been supplemented, and just to reiterate, as I do every year, we do not take anybody from the UK. It is all our own force, and we supplement the numbers. We bring in vehicles from the UK, just to reiterate that as well. So we do borrow cars, we don't borrow officers. But yeah, we're starting to wind up now towards the festivities as they're coming in for the actual week itself. All the planning's done and all being well, everything is going okay. Although we have had a few incidents, we've got people going to court for motoring offences and the unmarked bike is out there and unfortunately keeps catching people misbehaving. Unmarked bikes, should I say, it's not just one. And obviously it's business as usual as well at the same time.
Do you find a bit on when it comes to the road traffic that actually a lot of people seem to just drive and ride because they're on holiday at a festival in a different way? It's almost like some common sense goes out the window.
Yeah, it does, and it doesn't matter. For argument's sake, the Mountain is one way, as you know. It doesn't matter how much signage is up there from DOI. It doesn't matter how many police officers are on that road. People are still going the wrong way, and we're catching them doing that. We still have people that are going on closed roads. 8 minutes was the record the other day. I don't think we've achieved quicker than that before. And what they're not seeing is the impact of that, and they're not thinking about the wider picture. And we have tried all sorts of different platforms to try and get the information out there. But really, it seems to be, I don't know, it's alien sense out on some occasions, but the rest of the time, I just don't know that people understand the risks that are involved.
When it used to be two-way at TT, some years it was like a bloodbath. There is a reason we make it one way, and that is from a safety perspective, isn't it? And some people don't remember that.
And with policing, and with all the emergency services, what everything boils down to, the reason that we do anything always comes back to safety and preserving life, ultimately. And we're not out there because we've got nothing better to do. And also as well, we are trying to do a lot of stuff in the best possible way. So there's a lot of advice that goes out that's unseen. But unfortunately, we have to take the enforcement action as well. And the reason for that always boils down to, it's just safety.
That's Inspector Paul Kemp speaking to Alex there. The time now coming up to 9 minutes past 5. Step away from the TT for a second, as in the public interest or not in the public interest? That's the question. One MHK is concerned government is becoming extremely secretive after a request not to reveal how much has been spent on a review of the island's schools and education services was upheld. Ramsey member Laurie Hooper wanted to know the total cost of the validation undertaken by Etio. But the president of Tynwald upheld a request from the education minister not to answer his written question because it was contrary to the public interest, something Mr. Hooper told Amy Griffiths sets a worrying precedent.
I think it's pretty bizarre, the idea that Parliament isn't allowed to have any oversight of how much public money the government is spending. It clearly is in the public interest for the Parliament to have an understanding of where public money is being spent and how public money is being spent. I, again, don't really understand how publishing a contractual figure is going to have an impact on staff morale unless it turns out they're spending an absolutely extortionate amount of money on this review. I mean, if you're talking they're spending millions of pounds on this, I'd be very upset myself. But in terms of any future procurement, future contract negotiations, well, surely that argument applies to everything government does. But government quite often publishes the cost of things, of services, especially after contracts have been awarded.
Do you feel like government is starting to become slightly more secretive in terms of its actions and its spending in this regard?
I think government is becoming extremely more secretive. It's happening more and more now where government is just refusing to provide answers, refusing to publish things, where they are dodging and avoiding questions. It seems to be getting a lot worse than it ever has been. And actually, I'm really at a loss to understand why that is, other than, obviously, if they think the things they're doing are not going to be well received by the Manx public, then clearly there's an incentive for them to try and hide things now coming into an election year. But I would say things are definitely getting a lot worse. So I've now gone down the route of tabling freedom of information request. I've also written to the president. I've tabled a question for him to provide an answer, hopefully at the next sitting of Timbald, as to why he's made this decision and what his rationale is. And I'm also going to be asking the Public Accounts Committee that I sit on to make a formal request to the department to share that information. And failing that, I always have the fallback option of tabling a Timbald motion, compelling them to publish the information. And really, it shouldn't have to be that way. I mean, I've been a Timbald member now for nearly 8 years. Actually, the idea that you have to table a Timbald motion using legal powers to compel the government to publish things, this is the first time I've seen that used in my entire time in Timbald.
Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper speaking to Amy there. Well, we have also since had a response from the president of Timbald, Lawrence Skelly, who says, "I've nothing further to add other than I have exercised my responsibilities under Timbald's standing orders."
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
A TT visitor has appeared in court charged with riding a motorbike dangerously and failing to stop for police. Florian Kamel Roux, who's visiting from France, did not enter pleas during his appearance at Douglas Courthouse this afternoon. Sean Cowper reports.
The court heard Mr. Roux had travelled to the Isle of Man for TT with four friends and is due to stay here until the 8th of June. He was asked to pull over by a police officer on a marked motorbike at Station Road in Kirkmichael shortly before 5:30pm on Monday, the 26th of May. However, when the 31-year-old rode off on his S1000RR BMW, he was pursued by an officer on an unmarked bike before colliding with a van at Rencullen. He was taken to hospital following the incident, but is understood to have not sustained any serious injuries. The prosecution told magistrates Mr. Roux's speed had not been recorded by radar, but was estimated to be in the region of 100 miles per hour. His advocate stated the Frenchman would need to seek further legal advice before entering a plea, and the case was adjourned until next Tuesday. Mr. Roux was bailed to his accommodation at Douglas Rugby Club. He was required to surrender his passport, not drive a motor vehicle, and report to police headquarters on Friday and Sunday.
Sean Cowper with that report. 13 minutes past five now. Manx Care says it has daily conversations with Aintree Hospital about their respective care capacities. It's where most trauma patients on the Isle of Man are sent if they are in need of extra medical care. TT usually places increased demand on the island's emergency services. Head of the Isle of Man Ambulance Service, Will Bellamy, and Senior Matron for Medicine and Emergency Care, Joe Standish, say they're well prepared.
During TT, we obviously have an uplift in activity. Around about 200 more calls than our sort of average fortnight happens during the TT period. So we start planning it really sort of as early as possible, sort of the week after the TT goes.
There's a certain level of medical cover that's required for the racing. Mm-hmm. What sort of contingency do you have to make to the fact that someone might have a heart attack who's just living in the course and things like that?
Yeah, and that's what keeps me awake at night, is not the racing, is how do I get to the Isle of Man public when they need our help. And certain areas of the course, Ramsey, Glen Alden, Kirkmichael, get cut off when we're racing. So we have a whole variety of different plans, procedures, whether that's if they have to get to Glen Alden, then they will go across the golf course. If we're in Balaff, we will cross under the bridge, and Kirkmichael, there's a tunnel. So there's a whole variety of different plans to get to those patients.
How much can you predict the level of resource you need?
There's an awful lot of planning. We work together across all the government services to make sure we plan that throughout the year. And then essentially I need to be ready to receive patients. We need to make sure that Will's ambulances can offload in ED. If they can't do that, they can't respond to patients in the community, and that's the most important thing for us. So we have additional staff, we have extended shifts, we have different roles brought in, things like the major trauma coordinator. So we have one all year round, but we will double up due to more trauma activity. activity, unfortunately, just to make sure that those patients get a good standard of care.
How much planning goes into it from your perspective as to effectively, hello across the water, we might need a bit of help?
So that's an everyday business as usual thing for us, okay. But it does increase around the TT. So we have extremely good links with Aintree and a lot of the Northwest hospitals. Obviously, we've got Alderhay for our children, but most of our trauma work goes to Aintree. So we have a daily call with Aintree to have a look at their status, to review any trauma patients that have gone there. We then have different WhatsApp professional groups for major incidents, so how we can support each other. If we have patients in Aintree and they're struggling, we'll try and bring them back as timely as possible. We'll use Will's services and the Isle of Man Air Ambulance service to do that in the most professional sort of timely way that's safe for the patients.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, we'll start on the roads. The main thing to be aware of is that roads have started to close around the TT course ahead of the first qualifying session tonight, starting with the Mountain Road half an hour ago. All roads will be closed by 6 o'clock and are set to reopen no later than 9:30 tonight. Elsewhere, if you're travelling on or off island tonight, over at the airport, the 10 to 5 Loganair flight to London City has been cancelled, otherwise no problems to report. And on the sailings, Manxman left Heysham shortly after 2 o'clock and is expected to arrive here at around 10 to 6. And Mananan departed Liverpool at 5 and is due to arrive back here in Douglas at 8 o'clock. And Manxman is off to Belfast tonight, leaving Douglas at 7:30, arriving there at 15 minutes past midnight.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
17 minutes past five now. The owner of Duke TT Village, Peter Duke, says it's mind-boggling that his business adds an extra 10% to the overall room capacity on island during TT. Duke Travel is bringing 2,600 visitors over with packages and accommodation. This year, the company has expanded by adding a new glamping site at Cronkbourne Cricket Club. He told Manx Radio he believes the tourism industry will continue to grow.
There is demand demand exceeds supply for just about everything to do with TT, particularly travel and accommodation. The peak audience of TT is from surveys, 28,000 in the middle weekend, and there are less than 2,000 registered hotel rooms on the island, serviced accommodation rooms. So where they'll sleep is one of life's great mysteries, but homestay obviously has a role to play. And, you know, we're trying to expand glamping, which is the next step down, if you like, from a serviced cabin, which, you know, our cabins have their own bathroom and, you know, ensuite facilities. But, you know, the demand for quality is there without doubt. And, you know, the challenge for, I think, everybody on the island's tourist industry is to try and provide quality, but obviously then to try and survive financially for the rest of the year.
So would you, as Duke Travel, look into maybe expanding into different areas with sort of this village popping up in different locations? And is that a plan for sort of future years, or do you think you just want to keep with what you've got?
Well, we've expanded. We've got a new site in glamping at Cronkbourne Cricket this year, and we've expanded quite a bit up at Bala Fletcher with Vagabonds and Corinthians as a much bigger glamping site up there. So that is certainly an area we can expand. The difficulty with increasing the amount of cabins or anything sort of substantial with a bathroom in it is just the shipping limitations. You know, we have to start quite a few weeks early before TT to get the village set up, simply because of the it's 54 trailer loads of equipment.
It's Peter Duke there speaking to Manx Radio's Oliver Sykes. The time now 19 minutes past five. A short documentary exploring the history of the Isle of Man leading up to the decriminalisation of homosexuality in 1992 is set to be published online shortly. Directed by John Crane and funded by BFI Dog Society, The Guardian and Isle of Man Arts Council, No Man is an Island was primarily filmed here on the island last year. One of the shoots was in the House of Keys, and our Siobhan Fletcher got to take a look behind the scenes as they filmed a verbatim speech from Hazel Hannon. She caught up with members of the cast and producer Diarmaid Hughes.
So it came about through the director, John Crane. He's a good friend of mine. John is a Manx man, Manx filmmaker, and approached me with the story of sort of the history of gay rights on the island. I didn't know much about it. It has a similar history to Ireland in terms of its relationship with the gay community. And when we started digging into it, we kind of really discovered just the breadth of the campaign. You know, Alan Jay's protests at Tynwald Day, and you know, Hazel Hannon and Alan Bell's kind of real campaigning for it. So we felt it was a story that needed to be shared at a wider community. It came so much later than what happened in the UK, and I was shocked to hear that. So we felt it just needed to be shared, and given, you know, what's happening around the world at the moment with other countries and how some of their gay rights are regressing, I think it's important to be told that these hard-fought gay rights aren't always a given.
What's it like then filming in locations like this? Like, you're actually in the House of Keys filming these scenes that are so powerful, and then you've got Hazel Hannon watching on as the actress playing her is reciting her, you know, speeches to members. You know, what's that like?
It's powerful, as you said, very emotional. John and I have been working on this for 5 years, and when he put together what we wanted to do through the verbatim techniques of using radio interviews and TV interviews, literally word for word, we always hoped that we would get the right cast in place. And with Babs, Gwilym playing Hazel, and Andy playing Alan Bell, it's incredible today to see it all come together, especially with them watching. It makes it really emotional. It was really, especially for Hazel and Alan, it was really important. And I think I feel proud that we're able to tell their story. So, yeah, a big day today.
That was Siobhan Fletcher catching up there with producer Diarmaid Hughes on the set of No Man is an Island, which will be landing online, available for streaming shortly. Now, a TT visitor from Plymouth still can't believe his luck after his lost wallet, with all his holiday spends in it, found its way back to him. Tony Hoare had one of those horrible moments when he discovered the loss. It was after coming off the boat and heading to his accommodation, and he explained to Manx Radio what happened.
I thought I lost my world because there was so much cash in there as well. I just, like, all my cards, everything, including business cards, everything was in the wallet. This is when we got to the Duke TT village, when I took my clothes off and put some trousers on to go down to town, and then just realised my wallet wasn't with me.
Well, what happened? Who got in touch with you?
Absolutely incredible. Apparently it fell off my bike at traffic lights. There was a guy behind from Yorkshire in a camper van, Caroline and Graham. I can't thank them enough. They picked up my wallet. They saw it drop and they picked it up. They looked at the address on my driving license, and believe it or not, they worked with somebody that lived in Plymouth. He phoned Neil, he was called, the guy in Plymouth, phoned Neil. Neil knew my stepson. It was just unbelievable that within the space of 20 minutes trying to find me, not only did they phone me, but Neil's father lived two streets away from me. I mean, Plymouth's not a small place. It's a big place. It was incredible. It was incredible. So my son sent me the phone number of Neil. I rang Neil. Neil gave me the phone number of Caroline and Graham, who are staying in Kirkmichael. And I rode up there on Monday morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, I think. I rode up there.
And you can't actually believe it until you see the wallet and take possession of it again.
And every single bit of cash was in there. It was just like, felt like a huge weight was lifted off his shoulders. You know, I took the money out of the safe because I thought, you know, let's just use the cash. I had it in the safe for ages and ages. Let's go away and just use the cash. So, but yeah, it was an incredible feeling, and just makes you feel good that there are still really good people around, you know, a great island, great people for sure.
And you'll be keeping a tight grip on it now, will you?
Oh, dear, definitely, yeah. It goes in my back pocket with a button on it now.
How brilliant. That was TT visitor Tony Hoare speaking to John Moss. Tony was reunited with his wallet thanks to the kindness of others.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Speaking of visitors, I have a visitor to the studio now. It's Rob Pritchard with the latest news from the world of sport. Fast am I, Rob?
Fast am I, Lewis. Well, we're going to start with the TT, as you'd imagine. And the first qualifying session of TT 2025 is due to take place this evening. The mountain road is now closed and all roads around the Snæfell mountain course will be shut at 6 p.m. First out on the course this evening will be the Superbike and Superstock machines from 6:30. That'll be followed by the Supersport and Super Twin outfits getting underway at 7:20. And rounding out tonight's schedule will be the sidecars at 8:10 p.m. Highways around the course will reopen no later than 9:30. Last night was the first time machines had chance to get out on track for some valuable lap time. Tuesday's session was untimed. Elsewhere, the Isle of Man women's national cricket team suffered two defeats in a challenging doubleheader of fixtures during the ICC Women's T20 World Cup qualifiers in Italy today. First came an 8-wicket loss at the hands of Spain, before losing out by 49 runs to fellow islanders Jersey at Seymour Cricket Ground in Rome. There will be hopes for a positive ending to the campaign when they face their final match in the Europe Qualifier Division 2 tomorrow, 2 p.m. up against Germany at Roma Cricket Ground. And in golf, Daryl Collister and Sarah Blackman have been crowned winners of this year's Isle of Man 72-hole stroke play championships, with the final rounds of the 2025 event held at Ramsey and Comus at Mount Murray last weekend. Collister emerged as overall winner by 8 shots. Meanwhile, Blackman claimed the women's championship title by 2 shots, having built up a big lead from the early phases of the competition. Elsewhere in the men's tournament, defending champion James Arneil went on to finish second, with Peter Glover completing the top three in third. And in the net competition, Andrew Horn took top spot ahead of Ian Kelly and Stuart Wallace in second and third, respectively. Finishing just off the pace of Blackman in the women's tournament, meanwhile, were Ireland champion Emma Noon in second, whilst third place went to Shirley Price. The women's net competition was also won by Blackman.
Rob Pritchard, Guram Ayed. That's it for Update Tonight. Howard Kane is here next with Spotlight. And remember, you can listen back to tonight's programme, available as a podcast shortly over at manxradio.com. A reminder one more time that the mountain road has now closed and all roads around the TT course will be closed by 6 o'clock ahead of tonight's qualifying session, set to reopen no later than 9:30. That's all for now. If you're going out tonight, have a great time, and Update will be back at the same time tomorrow.